If you're a designer or inventor, it's a good day to get your thinking cap on. Three of the world's leading players in tackling kidney disease have joined forces to create a worldwide competition to design the world's first truly affordable dialysis machine. It's a competition with a prize of $100,000. It's sponsored by the George Institute, the International Society of Nephrology, and the Asia-Pacific Society of Nephrology. Professor Vlado Perkovic has done the work behind the birth of the prize, and he told me about it.
Our research shows that there's already 2.5 million people with kidney failure receiving either dialysis or a transplant around the world, which is a vast number when each person costs tens of thousands of dollars to keep them on dialysis or even to have a transplant per year.
In Australia, I think it's $55,000 to $80,000 a year per patient on dialysis.
Right, and it's much more expensive than that in countries like the US and less expensive, but perhaps not all that much less expensive in developing countries where it's still tens of thousands of dollars per year. And what we did was we mapped out what was likely to happen over the next 20 years and found that the number of people being treated with dialysis was going to double to over 5 million people.
And that's assuming that there is no great increase in the number of available kidneys. For instance, stem cells or being able to create a kidney in some new way that we can't predict at the moment.
Correct. There's a lot of research in that area, but it's still early days. And so I think certainly in the next decade, it would be unlikely that we'd see major progress along those lines. Beyond that, it's possible, but we're still some time away.
But one way or another, whether there are enough kidneys or not, you're still predicting a doubling in the number of people with end-stage kidney disease.
At least. And the other important thing that our research has shown is that only a small proportion of people with kidney failure have access to dialysis today. Somewhere between half and three quarters of all people with kidney failure around the world never get the chance to receive dialysis and are doomed to die of their disease.
And this is a terrible problem even in Australia. There are a lot of particularly Aboriginal people who don't have access to dialysis.
Dialysis access is a problem in remote parts of Australia, particularly for Aboriginal people. In Australia, the vast majority, pretty much everyone, can get dialysis, but it often means making major compromises with regards to where they live.
You may have to go a long, long way from your community because your community doesn't have a reliable supply of clean water, for example.
Exactly right.
And power.
Correct.
So water and power brings us to this prize that is being set up. And what you want is to produce an affordable dialysis machine.
Correct.
What would be affordable and what does it involve?
Well, we've set a target of $1,000 for a machine to be built that could perform dialysis in much the same way as machines do today, but that could use any water supply rather than just requiring purified water, and that ideally would be rechargeable either using rechargeable batteries or ideally using solar power.
For comparison, what does a dialysis machine cost now?
Tens of thousands of dollars each.
How many tens of thousands?
Well, it varies. A minimum of $10,000 or $20,000, but often in the chase for new technologies and shiny new machines, sometimes they can cost $50,000 or $60,000 or more.
The water, which we've referred to already, seems to me to be the absolute centre of all of this. You've got to have a system whereby, because this is about cleansing people's blood, you've got to have clean water going through there. Is that the biggest challenge in this prize?
I think it is. You're right. The water that we'd be using for dialysis will be effectively exposed to people's bloodstream, so it must be pure. And the machines that the reverse osmosis machines we use to do that these days are very expensive, adding at least as much of the cost as the dialysis machine itself. There are technologies that have been developed, though, that allow puddles to be converted into quite clean water, but they've not been applied to dialysis. And what we'd really like to see some of these novel technologies moved over to provide access to dialysis for people who don't have it today.
Having been on dialysis, I know that another thing is that after you have dialyzed, there's an awful lot of stuff that gets just thrown away.
Yes.
A lot of plastic tubing and other material that just gets thrown away. So once you've designed a $1,000 dialysis machine, you're also going to have to deal with that issue, aren't you?
absolutely right. The consumables, as they're called, are an important part of the cost, the annual cost of providing dialysis. Again, there's no reason why a bit of plastic tubing should be terribly expensive. We believe it's possible to bring the costs of all of those things down, but the fundamental principle and the thing that hasn't been focused on is to produce a low-cost version of dialysis that's effective to allow those people who don't currently have access to get access. Most of the development has been to come up with a slightly better machine, something that does something additional to what we've already got. And we really haven't got very far trying to do that. We need to focus not on making a shinier, fancier new machine, but making an equally effective but much, much cheaper machine so that more people can be treated.
And it's got to run off solar power and rechargeable batteries?
I think that's ideal. There are many parts of the world where access to power has been a challenge. I think that's less of a challenge than the water issue, particularly as, for example, mobile phones have become ubiquitous and there are charging stations, you know, being installed in the most remote places on Earth. So I think the power issue is less of a challenge, but it would need to ideally have at the minimum rechargeable batteries.
And for engineers and inventors, would-be entrants to this competition, how long have they got?
So we have set a deadline of the end of the year for the prize, and we're looking for ideally a working prototype or at least plans that would allow a working prototype to be developed that would allow us then to hopefully partner with other organisations to develop and produce the machine more broadly and make it available.
Professor Vlado Perkovic of the George Institute, and the deadline is the end of this year.